My guest is novelist Martin Amis, who's written a new memoir, which is called Experience, and the book is in part about his relationship to his father, the late writer Kingsley Amis. You say in your memoir, "I used to give the midlife crisis little credit and no respect. It was the preserve of various dunces and weaklings." So what was your midlife crisis about?
Don't ask.
I think I just did.
Well, the midlife crisis is something you ought to have, I think. It is critical to have a midlife crisis, and if you don't have one, then that's a crisis. It's facing up to all sorts of structural things in your life that haven't yet been faced, and chief among them is a new alignment, a new accession to death. I say that youth can perhaps be defined, and you see it in the very young, everywhere you look, as a sense of immortality, invulnerability. That's why the young are fearless, because they can't believe in their own death. They're not scheduled to believe in it. But when you get to around 40, it's a full-time job looking the other way, and you have to turn and look away from this fake, illusory immortality. And you have to turn your head and look at mortality. And you ought to have a crisis about that.
What kind of change in behavior did that lead you to?
Well, in my case, it involved the breakup of my marriage, a health crisis having to do with my teeth. And it also involved, included death of the father. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty thoroughgoing.
The health crisis you referred to had to do with your teeth, abscesses, I think a tumor that they found.
Yeah.
A lot of pain over a long period of time, a lot of complex dental surgery and teeth replacement and so on. Pain in the mouth is a very central location for pain. It's hard to distract yourself when you have pain in your mouth.
That's where you live.
It's where you live. It's where you speak. It's where you eat. It's where you kiss. It's where you breathe sometimes.
Indeed. And in fact, they made a model of the human body entirely scaled to nerve ends. And the result was an incredible little midget with an enormous Mick Jagger mouth. If something's going on in there, then that's where you live. And, that's partly what I meant by facing up to things you haven't faced, because I had ceased to go to the dentist. I'd let it become a kind of complex and an obsession. And dealing with that was certainly part of my crisis.
What did you figure out about things that you could do, that you were capable of doing with pain, and things that were just impossible to even consider when you were in pain?
Pain was always, the toothache is the kind of civilian limit of pain, and I just howled my way through that. But what I hated more was the fact that I'd have to do something about it.
Do you think you became very unpleasant when you were in a lot of pain?
Did I become unpleasant?
Uh-huh. I think it's easy to be unpleasant when you're very uncomfortable.
Well, Sam Johnson said it is so very difficult for a sick man not to be a scoundrel. Quoted by Brenda Maddox in her Life of D.H. Lawrence, D.H. Lawrence perhaps being the worst behaved writer of all time, and there's a lot in that. He never took a breath without pain and without an intimation of mortality, and died at 44. It is difficult for a sick man not to be a scoundrel, but I don't think. It made me feel, actually, on the contrary, I kept thinking, Christ, I've got to start being nice to people. it had more that effect. Because you need them. You need their sympathy.
Right. I want to get back to something you mentioned at the beginning of our talk, which you write about some in the book, and that is that you found out that you had fathered somebody who you were in a relationship with years ago. And I think you said the child was two when you found out.
Yes.
But the story was made public about 18 years later. What kind of relationship, if any, did you decide to have with the daughter that you found out after the fact that you fathered?
I didn't decide to have a relationship. We met and fell in love. And I have a wonderfully warm and candid relationship with her, Delilah. And it's been not just easy, but wonderful. When her other father wrote to me saying that Delilah now knows that I'm not her father and that you are, I said, I was very shocked by the letter because I realized, as he said, it's been in the back of your mind, no doubt, and that's exactly where it had been. But I said to my wife, I showed her the letter, and she read it, and I said, there's absolutely no reason, is there, why this shouldn't be a wonderful thing? And she said straight away, none. And, you know, she was a key figure, my wife, and Delilah's other father, Patrick, was a key figure. And you can imagine all sorts of things that might have gone wrong in the periphery there, but our relationship has just been, you know, a warm breeze, and it, you know, love flowed and was soon declared, and you know, why would it not?
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Martin Amis has written a new memoir called Experience. Coming up, Ken Tucker reviews a new CD by singer-songwriter Slade Cleaves and a new CD by guitarist Gerf Morlix, who produced Cleaves' recording. This is Fresh Air.